You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ramil, the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to follow the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me this Friday to get in on the action. Locker Room is changing the way we talk about sports. Today's show will be a good one. In between games, as we prepare to host the Dallas Mavericks on Tuesday evening, I'll be talking a little bit about the topic that's floating around every NBA circle, regardless of whatever team you follow, and that's the play-in tournament. I'll be talking about what Miami might do if they got into the play-in tournament, if they happen to drop. Right now, they are currently the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference. And I'll also talk a little bit about Bam Adebayo, who made a pretty strong statement regarding his candidacy as the Defensive Player of the Year, although I'm not quite sure he is going to be considered for the award this season. But I'll start off in Los Angeles, where the Lakers are currently the sixth seed in the Western Conference. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. They've lost three in a row. They've dropped seven of the last 10. Kyle Kuzma called them disconnected in yesterday's media session. Anthony Davis is apparently checked out, according to a large swath of Lakers fans. Get Anthony Davis off the floor. Andre Drummond is, as I had predicted, largely unplayable. Dennis Schroeder out for about 2 weeks due to health and safety protocols. And of course, LeBron James making excuses. And that's where I'll kick off this conversation in the first segment, because he had some pretty strong statements himself in yesterday's press conference about the play-in tournament, although he doesn't even acknowledge it as such. This is his quote. He was asked about his health because, of course, he just came back from a nagging ankle injury. He says he's not quite 100%. He also says that he's probably not going to be 100% for the rest of his career, something I don't quite believe when it comes to LeBron. I know he is somewhat masterful at kind of framing the argument so that he comes out smelling of roses. And it's a little disingenuous, but as far as his overall health, he was asked about, you know, it's hard because the question was more or less, and I'm paraphrasing here, the question was, you know, you have to consider your health, but at the same time, you have to go out there and play, because if you're going to be in this tournament, you know, you're going to have to find a way to win here. And he says, well, basically, this is his direct quote from the press conference. It doesn't matter if I'm not at 100% or close to 100% where we land. That's my mindset. If it happens to, you know, we wind up and end up at sixth or fifth or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that shit needs to be fired. So he didn't quite even answer the question, really, not the way it was supposed to be. But I think the gist of what he was trying to say was, look, if I'm not healthy and we're in the sixth seed, it don't really matter. We're not advancing anything. If I'm healthy and we're in the play-in tournament, I still like our chances, although he didn't quite frame it that way. Again, taking some knock at a poor NBA employee who suggested to Adam Silver, hey, you know, what about a play-in tournament? Next thing you know, this guy's ass is on the line and he might get fired. No, that's not going to happen, first of all. But I wanted to talk a little bit about that reaction, too, because apparently a lot of people are kind of on the fence about the play-in tournament, and you know, we've gotten some recent criticism from LeBron that's going to obviously draw a lot of clicks and change a lot of opinion about the tournament and everything else. And so I kind of wanted to shed a little bit of light into it and then talk about what Miami would do if they happen to fall into the play-in tournament, because I actually like their chances in it. The Lakers, again, currently the sixth seed. So they wouldn't even be in the play-in tournament unless they continue to lose. Right now, they've got, I think, another seven games left in their record. I'm sorry, in their regular season. Yes, they currently are 36-28. So they actually have eight games left in their season. So enough of a chance for them to drop, potentially, if they, you know, obviously LeBron James is going to be sitting out a couple more games here because he did test his ankle. He didn't like the way it felt. And even though he tried to come back over the weekend, he might have rushed it a little bit too much because he is actually concerned about the play-in tournament. But as far as the actual context of the tournament and how it works, and I'm not sure how much of you all are familiar with this, so forgive me if I'm giving you information that you already know, but I think it's important to understand. Basically, it gives an opportunity to two extra teams that might not normally have even a chance of sniffing the playoffs. The 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th seed in each respective conference will all be participants in the play-in tournaments. There will be two games to start it off. The 7-8 game, matching, of course, the 7th seed versus the 8th seed, and then the 9-10 game. And this is how it's responded or referred to, rather, in NBA.com on the actual NBA website. When they proposed these rules, when they listed the structure of the tournament, it's a 7-8 game and the 9-10 game. So the winner of the 7-8 game automatically is in the tournament, in the playoffs, rather. They're automatically in the playoffs. They will be the 7th seed moving forward. They will take on the 2nd seed, currently the Brooklyn Nets. So no great reward, really. The loser will take on the winner of the 9-10 game. The loser of the 9-10 game is eliminated. So you've got one chance at it. If you're the 10th seed, currently the Washington Wizards, then you blow that chance, you're done. But the winner of the 9-10 game gets an opportunity for a second game, and they take on the loser of the 7-8 game. Maybe that clarifies some. Maybe that already, again, answers questions that you might not even have been asking, or maybe you already knew that information. But I think it's important to kind of get that kind of context as far as the structure of the tournament is concerned. In the East, the 7-8-9-10 teams currently are the Boston Celtics, Charlotte Hornets, Indiana Pacers, and Washington Wizards, with Chicago and Toronto nipping right at the Wizards' heels for that last spot there. Miami mathematically could slip all the way to the 10th seed or beyond if they lose every game for the next 7 games of their regular season, but that doesn't seem very likely. And I'll talk again about Miami's chances in the play-ins, but I'll address LeBron's comments and just say that, to me, first of all, this brings me absolute joy. And this is wonderful to see Lakers fans in a state of complete panic, to see LeBron making public excuses, to see them completely discombobulating. Like, so much of the vitriol from last season, at least on my end, carried over because, well, let's be honest, the Lakers started off pretty hot. They actually had a pretty good offseason, adding Montrezl Harrell, adding Marc Gasol, adding Dennis Schroeder, you know, trading away Denny Green, and looking at a good season, a good start to the season. And of course, Lakers fans basking in their, you know, ridiculous narratives of, oh, look at us, we're the small family-owned business, you know, the mom-and-pop NBA team that could, even as they're hoisting banner number, who gives a crap. I just cannot stand the Lakers fans and the casual fans that tend to gravitate towards the Lakers for whatever reason. And this is a global appeal here. So if you're a Laker fan, I don't even know why you'd be listening to this podcast, but we hate you. We all hate you. Everybody hates you. The other 29 other franchises hate you. So congratulations on that. As far as whether or not the Lakers are in a bad position here or anything like that, I don't really care. Like, I think, you know, LeBron has long maintained, oh, we don't care about seeding, right? When he was with Miami, we're the 1 seed, the 2 seed. No, we don't care about that. Oh, go ahead, Chicago. Go ahead, Derrick Rose. Win your MVP. Get your first seed in the Eastern Conference. That don't matter to us. And it didn't until it does now, apparently. It's just kind of interesting how everything has changed for him. Now, he all of a sudden, you know, he's not going to be healthy. And he's already saying, I may not be healthy. I don't buy anything that LeBron necessarily says. This isn't calling him an outright liar or anything like that, but I think he's very well aware of how to change the narrative about a series, a team, himself as an individual, and he kind of has to hedge his bets a little bit. He has to kind of put it out there to say, you know what, I may not be healthy. If we lose, I've got a built-in excuse that makes me look pretty good. I'm not healthy. Anthony Davis isn't healthy. Maybe Anthony Davis, maybe AD isn't the player I thought he was, although I don't think he'd necessarily throw him under the bus because there is that allegiance to clutch clients. They would probably find some way of trading AD if they really thought there was a problem with his level of concern or his desire to continue winning at a high level. I think LeBron is just making excuses at this point. And I also think that now the Lakers just look vulnerable. And they were riding that wave, something that Miami didn't have the opportunity for. I have mentioned this before, but Miami came into the season looking flat. They looked like the team that hadn't won the NBA Finals and hadn't had a lot of opportunity to rebuild, to retool, to kind of find new energy. And yet now, they're playing their best basketball of the season. They're 5 games over .500. Their record is not far off of what Los Angeles is. That's unbelievable considering what, what Miami has gone through over the course of the season. Of course, Lakers fans would be first to yell, but AD's injury, but LeBron's injury. It's like, yeah, well, you know, Miami has had their fair share of injuries too. You know, their starting two guard hasn't been available for more than a handful of games. Consider that. And luckily, Miami's had some pretty solid play from Kendrick Nunn and others in order to step up there. But Tyler Hero's missed a bunch of games. Goran Dragic, Jimmy Butler, and on and on. The only player who's played consistently is Duncan Robinson as far as actual playing time. And, of course, his shooting has only just taken off. Well, it's always been solid. It's just been incendiary over the last few weeks. But that's not where it was before. And it's unbelievable to me that people are listening to what LeBron is saying regarding the play-in tournament and everything else. The Lakers aren't flukes. They're just struggling like every other team this year. They've gone through injuries. It's going to happen. They went through a short offseason, too. It's different. They started off with a buzz, an energy that wasn't sustainable. You know, like adrenaline, right? You know, it was like the fight or flight syndrome response. I know this is oversimplification to anybody in the medical profession that's hearing this ridiculous conversation from me. I apologize. But, you know, you get a little bit of adrenaline, right? It's just enough to give you a burst. That's not sustainable. It's not like, you know, necessarily being a marathon runner. Can you run pretty fast for a few blocks? Sure. Maybe you'll be able to use that burst to, you know, get away from a predator or somebody that's trying to attack you. That's what the adrenaline response is for. It's a temporary fix. That's what Los Angeles had to start off the season. They were buzzed. They were high off of winning a championship, and deservedly so. The playoff tournament in the bubble was very difficult. It was a hell of an accomplishment for both teams to be able to get to this point. And it hurts me to even say this, but the Lakers, I don't think that they proved to be the better team, but they won the tournament, let's say. They won the championship, and that's all that matters. And that was enough to give them the boost to start off the season, again, along with some roster moves. It was, you walk into this season and you go, you know what? Not only are we champions, but we added players that are hungry and willing to make changes and sacrifice for this team. We got another NBA champ in Marc Gasol. We've got, you know, Dennis Schroeder. We got rid of Rajon Rondo, but we got a young player like Schroeder who wants to prove himself. And they make other improvements throughout the course of the season, bringing in Andre Drummond. None of those moves have panned out the way they wanted them to. But at first, it was just enough to provide even an additional boost of energy there. Now, as far as whether or not this play-in tournament or whoever conceived this idea has to be fired, I'll be honest with you, they're getting a bonus. They're getting a raise. If it was one, you know, I like to think of it, as many of you probably do, as one lonely person sitting in a cubicle there, like office space, and just kind of saying to themselves, you know what? What if we could get a play-in tournament that could draw up more interest for other teams around the league? And, you know, it kind of works its way up. And, of course, some mid-management level person winds up taking credit for it and getting promoted by Adam Silver. That's probably how it works out in the NBA, just like it does in most of corporate America. But it works. It's absolutely great for the league. I don't buy this for an instant. I will say this. I hate when star-level players like LeBron and others start putting these things out there, similarly to the TNT crew, when they start spouting such ridiculous nonsense that has no foundation whatsoever. Like, this is absolutely a good thing for the league. You know what? I'll put a pin in this and I'll talk to you a little bit more about that, as well as Miami's chances in the tournament, should they find themselves being in the tournament, because I think it's an interesting question. But if you have other questions, then you should be going on Locker Room, because this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. It's the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. Once you're in, you can talk to me, other fans, athletes, insiders in real time. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On later on this week, probably on Friday. I want to say somewhere around 3, 4 p.m., but, you know, I've got a toddler, so it's not always so convenient knowing 2 days or 3 days in advance, but Friday for sure. Come join me on Locker Room. Look, I found it to be really interesting. I had no idea what I was going to be doing when I got there, but you just have conversations with people. It's real casual-like. You know, you just go in there, send in a question. You have some concern about, I don't know, the Heat, Defensive Player of the Year, Bam Adebayo, or something else along those lines. You have an opinion about Kendrick Nunn's free agency. You just go, you start up a conversation, and people like me will chime in and respond. That's just the way it works. You can talk to athletes. You can talk to a bunch of guys. As long as you're straightforward and respectful, I think all questions and comments get answered. So you have a chance to chat with me, like I said. Again, later on this Friday, I'll be hosting a room, so make sure you download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. I think they've got a beta version available for Android Android users too. So you just join an NBA group, join the Miami Heat group, and you follow me when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. Again, I'm planning to be here on Friday, probably around 4 o'clock. Can't wait to hear everybody's thoughts on the Heat. See you there. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. Before talking a little bit about Miami's chances in the play-in tournament, just kind of wanted to reiterate something I was hinting at in the last segment, because players, TNT, I think when you have a superstar player like LeBron James start spouting absolute nonsense that whoever created this idea needs to be fired, when you've got Mark Cuban and Luka Doncic complaining about the play-in tournament, that's absolute garbage. And people will believe it, unfortunately. I hope that all of my listeners are not of the sheep-minded mentality that will say, you know what, maybe the play-in tournament isn't that good. There's no one to blame for falling into this category of being in the play-in tournament other than yourself. If anything, it gives other teams an opportunity. Does it reward bad teams? Sure. The 7th and 8th seed reward bad teams. You want to avoid being in the play-in tournament? Don't be a bad team. Like, I think Miami Heat fans would be 100% honest with themselves and saying, hell, if we're in a play-in tournament, it kind of sucks. But no one to blame other than the Heat themselves. They've dropped a number of games throughout the course of the season. They had a number of issues come up. Yeah, I know fans are passionate. They'll never be able to separate fact from fiction or narrative or whatever they might believe passionately about their team and their team's chances. You've got a whole country north of the border that thinks that the ESPN media conglomerate has been trying to create a false narrative about the Toronto Raptors and that nobody gives them the attention that they deserve and everything else. I get it. Conspiracy theories, passion for fandom, passion for your team, they're all linked together. I get it. Nobody's trying to eliminate the Lakers from the playoffs. If anything, I'm sure Adam Silver would be chewing his fingernails down to the bone if he thought there was a possibility of the Lakers being eliminated. But the Lakers have nobody to blame but themselves. And I'm sure that LeBron is, again, just kind of creating this pre-packaged excuse, you know, so that whenever anything does happen, he can always say, well, we had it, you know, we had the odds against us. And I think it's unfair that we wind up being eliminated by the Portland Trailblazers in a one-game situation, which is entirely possible. Right now, Portland's right there. As far as being in the play-in tournament, the Spurs could eliminate the Lakers. And that's where the danger comes in. Like, if you're the 7th, 8th seed, you've got two games to at least win once. If you're the 9th, 10th seed, you get one chance at it, and you might blow it. And you could have a bad game. You could have an injury. And Lord knows, in this season, with COVID and everything else, health and safety protocols, that could mean a huge deal. Look at Schroeder's 10 to 14 day prognosis for health and safety protocols. I don't know exactly when that puts him at as far as the end of the season, but they've got 8 games left. He'll probably miss a pretty big chunk of those, if not all of them, considering you're playing basically once every 2 days. Maybe you get a 2-game break here and there like Miami does later on this week. But overall, I just think the play-in tournament has been exciting. You've got fans in Washington that really are looking forward to the opportunity to be in the play-in tournament. You've got Chicago swinging for the fences by getting Nikola Vucevic. And while that's probably not the kind of home run move that you would have expected from this season, you can still at least be in the play-in tournament and have a chance and maybe knocking off a 7th or 8th seed. I mean, the Bulls beat the Heat. It's theoretic. It could happen. And so I just think that they're being petulant. They're being whiny. They're being disingenuous. I hate that. The tournament isn't bad. You're a bad team right now, and you've got to be honest with yourself. And I take great pride in being able to cover a Heat team that has never made excuses for themselves. This is not about the goddamn play-in tournament. It's about you being a shitty team that can't play well during the last few weeks of the season, that you had injuries at a bad time. Boo fucking who. Guess what? 29 other teams have been dealing with it all fucking season long. Get out of here. Get out of here with that. I apologize for my cursing to anybody with children in the car who might be listening to this podcast. Earmuffs. I cannot stand the fact that LeBron James is putting this out there. Look, and I like LeBron. Of course, I like watching him in a Heat uniform for 4 years. I'm not as salty as many Heat fans are about the way he left the team and things of that sort, though. Of course, there was probably a lot of deception there on LeBron's part regarding how he left the team. But overall, I think he's a fantastic player, and I actually think he is probably the best player in NBA history over Michael Jordan, which is that's probably something that a lot of people will not believe from me, but I that is something I've long maintained, that his ability to play the game. Anyway, who cares? LeBron's a great player. We all know this. He's also being a whiny something about this. He's just being very, very disingenuous about putting this out there, and somebody will believe it. You know, somebody will say, you know, you're right. The playing tournament is bad. No, it's not. It's giving teams an opportunity. This is what everybody wants. The stakes are higher than ever with every game. This makes things exciting. Think about the Eastern Conference and the New York Knicks. They're going to go on a West Coast road trip. They're going to play teams like Memphis. They're going to play teams like the Lakers. They're going to play teams that are in the West Coast play-in bubble. They have something to prove, and they might lose those games. They're going to go on this brutal West Coast road trip. They might find themselves in the Eastern Conference play-in tournament. They might eliminate a team from the Western Conference play-in tournament. That makes things fun towards the end of the season. I think this is a fantastic move. The NBA is not going to dismiss it, even if LeBron cries about it or whines about it to perpetuity. They're not going to change this. And I like the fact that Miami has embraced the fact that, look, we have nobody to blame for ourselves. And I know a big part of that is Jimmy. I've said this before. Jimmy doesn't complain about foul calls. He just doesn't. Like, maybe he'll be in their ear in different ways, kind of planting a seed here and there. And I think that's necessary to do that. But I do not think that it's important to whine. He takes his hits. He gets up. And, yeah, later on, maybe he'll say, that wasn't a foul. That wasn't a foul. But the kind of incessant whining that turns people off, he doesn't do that. And I think that's why he gets the benefit of so many calls, because referees are human. Newsflash, and they don't want to be barked at. They don't want to be whined to constantly over the course of 48 minutes. I think, look, maybe I'm a little off base here, but I feel like Luka Doncic probably does his fair share of complaining loudly to referees, and it's no, I think, coincidence that he's picked up his 15th technical of the season, and that if he picks up one more, and he probably will against Miami on Tuesday night, he'll face a one-game suspension. Like, at some point, you just have to realize, you know, it's time to shut the hell up. Maybe you shouldn't talk so much. And maybe you should figure out a way of doing it a little bit better. Look, I understand passion. I understand the game's on the line. You want to make your case. You want to make a point. But you also have to kind of learn how to suck it up. You have to learn a balance somehow. You have to do it a lot more judiciously. You cannot just do it constantly. The squeaky wheel does not always get the grease in this case. As for Miami, I think their chances at a play-in tournament are probably pretty good. Yes, an injury could derail everything. But I like Miami's composure, their makeup. I feel like even the Charlotte Hornets game on Sunday was its own play-in tournament. They had a chance to go in there. It was a big deal for the Hornets. I know they had that game, not circled necessarily on their calendar, but I know they were looking forward to a chance to kind of prove to themselves that they could hold their own against Miami. And they didn't. They kind of blew it, really, even with LaMelo Ball in the lineup. So I like Miami's composure. I like Jimmy's ability to say, you know what, it don't matter. We got to go through this. We got to figure it out. It doesn't matter who we're playing, which is why I like their chances in the playoffs, because I think they see the Wizards to the same level as the, you know, Brooklyn Nets. And maybe there's the flip side of that. It was like, well, they play down to their opponent, but maybe they just don't care because it's about them. It's about finding the motivation internally to say, look, we have to beat these guys. It's not about, you know, finding a way to want to knock off KD or James Harden or Kyrie Irving. It's about, I don't care who's out there in that uniform, whatever color it might be, they're not in this one. And so I'm going to find a way to beat them. I'm going to find a way to persevere. And Miami often has, especially now with Jimmy Butler in the lineup. And I think that's a huge, huge benefit to have. But it also helps to have Bam Adebayo out there. And he's making a pretty strong case for himself as Defensive Player of the Year. And I'll talk about that in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. But you should also be going to rockauto.com. With an ever-increasing number of banks and models, it's so hard to find the parts that you're looking for at a traditional chain storefront. So why bother going there, having them ask you questions and them saying, oh, we've got to order this part for you. You've got access to computers in your pocket or in your house. Just go to rockauto.com. They're a family-owned business that have been serving customers online for 20 years. You can choose from hundreds of manufacturers on their easy-to-use site. And believe me, it is easy to use. And you save a lot of money. With just a few easy clicks, you get delivered everything directly and safely to your door. And you get the same low prices for everybody. So go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Then go to the section that says, "How did you hear about us?" Enter the phrase "locked on" so they know we sent you. It's amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. That's rockauto.com. And when you're done saving a little money there at Rock Auto, make sure you spend it on Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. But you can make a little money there too, because baseball season's in full swing. You can track all the action at Bet Online. So much sports action on the go there, with the NFL draft having just passed. But of course, there's the Triple Crown starting off. There's NBA playoff games getting started. There's the NHL, UFC, MMA action, everything you might need. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs, like Miami. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. Get all the sports news you need in another 20 minutes with a Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. So following, or actually midway through yesterday's press conference after the victory over the Charlotte Hornets, Alexander Toledo, as he was referred to during the Heat media session, of Five Reasons Sports, of course, formerly a Miami Heat beat podcaster and friend of the show, asked Bam about something that he said in the previous episode. I had mentioned in the previous episode that following the Cleveland Cavaliers game, he signed off as he always does, saying Black Lives Matter, but he also threw in four letters, DPOY, Defensive Player of the Year. And so Alex asked him about whether or not he thinks he's a legitimate candidate. He said, "Yeah, I am." But he also thinks that he's not a big name in the NBA. And those are his words. "I'm not a big name in this NBA." I'm not so sure about that. But I understand why he might feel that way. And as far as whether or not he is actually a Defensive Player of the Year candidate, I will say he's not. He's not this year. Right now, he's not even on the boat. He's not even on the board regarding odds of him winning the Defensive Player of the Year award. And that's through our good friends Bet Online. I just looked it up right now. You got Rudy Gobert as most likely. You got Giannis Antetokounmpo as a strong possibility. Ben Simmons, no Bam Adebayo. Fair, unfair, whatever. I will say my feeling is that Bam is a best defender, or one of the best defenders, certainly. But I think he deserves to be in the top four. He should certainly be up there as far as odds there. But I think, and I'll reiterate something I said yesterday following the Hornets win, Michael Pina of Sports Illustrated is going to be here later on this week to talk about his stance on Bam, that Bam is a phenomenal defender that doesn't get nearly enough credit, that he might not put up the kind of statistics that might help him stand out in the DPOY race, but he's certainly the kind of player that I think you'd want to build around. And I've talked with Wes Goldberg, my former co-host, during last year's playoff run. Like, when you look at what Bam was able to accomplish in the bubble, and you look at the kind of player he is, I know our gripe as Heat fans is generally, well, he's not aggressive enough. He's not putting up 25 points per game. And that hurts him in the DPOY race, even though those are offensive statistics. I think they're tied there somehow. You have to be so leaning towards just defensive metrics, statistics, and start building narratives. Like, you have to be overwhelmingly the best defensive team in the league, which Miami is not. And unfortunately, Bam just isn't going to get that kind of credit. Or you have to be like Giannis, like Embiid, like Simmons. You have to be part of a team that wins a lot of games and puts up just enough so you can say, well, you know what? He also happens to be a pretty damn good defender too. It's so much of this is narrative driven. And unfortunately, I think Bam is just not going to put up the kind of statistics that really change the view of him. But I will say this. I think two things can happen. One, I really like the fact that he's putting his name out there. because that will change the narrative. I remember LeBron doing the same thing a couple years ago during the Heatles when he was upset that Marc Gasol probably deservedly won Defensive Player of the Year. I think that grit and grind team was so synonymous with defense and slowing things down and changing the way you play. Like, you could go in there being the most potent offense in the world, and Tony Allen was going to make life miserable for you. Marc Gasol was going to destroy whatever chance you had at scoring in the paint. You had a number, you know, Zach Randolph, Mike Conley, all these guys were committed to defense. And they had a great defensive team. Miami, not quite as good defensively. Right? I think that's pretty normal. I don't think that's a hot take there. But I think any team starting, you know, Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson, as much as those two guys have improved, even including Tyler Hero or Goran Dragic off the bench, like, your chances of playing well defensively are going to be hindered to some degree. And I think given that, as a team, you won't be viewed as this defensive powerhouse. And so Bam, as the clear anchor of this defensive team, is not viewed in the same light as those other players. You know, Tony Allen was a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. Marc Gasol was a Defensive Player of the Year candidate because they were viewed as a defensive team. And I think from Miami's perspective, they're not good enough to change that kind of view as a team, which is, you know, part of the problem with these awards is that you're rewarding an individual in a team sport. It makes it almost impossible for this particular. This isn't, you know, the most points per game. This isn't celebrating the league's best passer or anything like that in NFL, you know, or like the guy with the highest on-base percentage, or even like a Gold Glove award in baseball. You know, can this guy catch the ball really well? Is he a hell of a fielder? Can he make the right play defensively? Yes, those are individual things that you can measure and quantify. I don't know that you can necessarily measure and quantify Bam's impact. This isn't Theo Ratliff leading the league in blocks or Dikembe Mutombo leading the league in blocks. Those things are harder to quantify. Those are harder to quantify, but at the same time, those are big statistics that stand out, right? With Bam, he's not leading the league in blocks. He's barely got more than one per game because he's mostly drawn out. Why? Because Miami switches everything on defense because they can. They've got a player who can switch 1 through 5, and he makes things so much easier. Again, harder to quantify. Does he stop Steph Curry from shooting that 3? Maybe Steph Curry passes it out and it's hard to tell whether or not it was because of Bam's defensive impact or not. And so these things get lost in the statistical way of measuring an individual player's impact. And yeah, there's certainly defended player field goal, there's steals, there's blocks, there's other metrics like that, but all of those just only tell part of the story. And unfortunately, you'd have to watch all 82 games of Bam Adebayo to see what he can do. You're lucky that you get to do that. You really are. You're watching one of the most underrated defensive players in the game right now. And he does everything so well defensively. That we gripe about him not scoring 25 points per game is a damn shame, because what he does defensively, I mean, consider what we had before, right? Consider what Heat fans had regarding Hassan Whiteside. A lot of blocks, and yet so minimal effort. And it was difficult to watch him out there because he was just piling up stats. The exact antithesis of what Bam Adebayo does. It's not about the rebounds per game or the blocks per game. Those things matter, sure. They tell part of the story. But with Hassan, that was the end of the story. It was dropped midway through chapter 6. I got 10 boards. I got 12 rebounds. I got 5 blocks. I'm Defensive Player of the Year. No, you're not. Because you die on screens, you don't switch, you can't do anything else, and basically just a function of a defense that funnels everything towards you anyway. This isn't Bam. Bam is the guy who picks up Steph Curry and then switches to block a shot by Kevon Looney. You know, this is a guy who can guard 1 through 5 as easily as anybody. He will stop Shake Milton and then switch over and harass Joel Embiid. He will be part of the wall that shut down Giannis Antetokounmpo. He will switch on to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden in a playoff series, which is why Miami has as good a chance as any team of advancing to the NBA Finals. Just a reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskAllHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. Special thanks to all of our sponsors like Locker Room. Remember, I'll be on the show later on this week. And thanks for all of you listening. I'm David Ramil, signing off for now.